the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schoen.
The Huskies got a 2-1. Bring it up across the line. Ian Smith looking in front. Sasha just scores! Missy it! Put it in!
I am a Uper.
So flip it up for Reitmeier. He holds it in. Here comes Grayson Reitmeier. He'll shoot! Scores!
I love UP. My heart is hit.
Save it for Misiak. Misiak wrapped around attempt. Break to the front of the goal. It's behind him. Scores! Gets in the net.
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schoen Hour on the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. And now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schoen, here is your host, Dirk Embraugh.
All right, well, thank you very much, and welcome, everybody, to the Puck Drop Show, the very first Joe Schoen Hour of the 2019-20 season, and we are live from the Turbo Agency in downtown Hancock, and we are very happy to be here. Thanks to Mr. Franti, Mr. Mikish, Mr. Mikula, all of these great agents that are having us kick off this show with Joe Schoen by my side here in the conference room. And before we get to Coach Bob Franti, I guess thanks again, and kind of an idea that you had to kick things off for the Michigan Tech hockey season.
Yes, we thought it would be a great way to kick off and celebrate another hockey season, not only for Michigan Tech, but our local youth hockey programs as well.
Yeah, we do have a couple of presidents with us, and we'll get to them in just a little bit. But Jeff Mikish, of course, former Michigan Tech hockey star, and has been on the broadcast for many years, throughout the years, on Mix 93 Huskies broadcast. And he's an agent, of course, here at Turbo Agency for a few years now, Jeff. And this is kind of a cool thing, and I know you're excited about the Michigan Tech hockey season kicking off this season, next weekend.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, guys, for coming out here today in the office just about every Monday during the hockey season. There's talk either about high school hockey games, Detroit Red Wings, Michigan Tech hockey, you name it, between Mike and Bob. So we're excited to be here today and have this opportunity.
Well, Coach, this is a pretty cool thing. First time that we've done the Joe Schoen Hour and taking it on the road.
I think this is great. We've already had a little hot stove here catching up, and these guys are passionate about hockey. I think this is a great kickoff for us. It's a lot of fun.
Well, talk a little bit about, if you could, Coach, the preseason, bringing us up to this first weekend against Robert Morris, a team that we've never faced in program history before. It's going to be a lot of fun heading to this first weekend.
Well, it's been I think we started in the spring to get ourselves on the path that we want to be on. I think the staff did an excellent job. Tyler did a good job in track A with our guys. They put on good strength. The players worked extremely hard. Continued that through the summer, showed up in great condition. We addressed, I think, the things that we needed to address with our team, as far as make sure we had some size and strength back on the blue line to help out to just give us some balance and give us some options to do some different things. Brought in some decent skill in skating up front. Our goaltending is solid. Mood is good. In our limited time with the players right now, it's been tremendous. Going to the rink, attention to detail, competitiveness, attitude, everything's been great. And the players' leadership core has done a fantastic job. So we're excited. I think we're going to have something we're going to build on throughout the year. We're looking forward to getting ready to go.
I think a lot of people in the area are really, they're obviously pumped up about the season in general, but an extra boost of excitement in that Ray Bryce, Houghton native, has been named, you named him in the offseason as the captain. Talk a little bit about how Ray has done so far in that position.
I think Ray's earned that opportunity. A year ago we talked about him, and the consensus on the staff is that Ray needed to solidify himself a little bit more within the structure of the team. I personally didn't feel that way. I've been around some teams that, be honest with you, I don't care whether Ray plays or he doesn't play. I think what he brings to our team in the locker room has a value in itself, and there's a value in that. So I'm not going to not put a letter on a guy because he may not, be an All-American candidate. So Ray emulates everything that we want. He emulates the work ethic of the community. But I think all of our guys, Alex Smith and Seamus Donahue, I think have done a great job. We have a leadership core that we put in place this year, representatives from each class to make sure that we're getting a consistent message going through, and that there's support and open communication and dialogue being established all the time. So I think Ray certainly leads what we're about. We want to make sure we're sending the right message in that regard. That was the most important thing that I think to turn around in the way that we operate, which is, you know, to earn it every day, to get better every day. You have to have the mentality that you're going to do that, and you have to bring that all the time. And Ray certainly emulates that and leads by example, and that's what we have to have.
Ken, having a captain who is not supposed to be a star player when it comes to scoring goals and being a rock star in points be a benefit to the whole situation in that you know chances are he's just looking for the benefit of the team in what he does?
Well, I think what you're trying to do in this agency here that we're at, what you're trying to do always is to have a message and identity, a value structure to your culture. And it doesn't matter who that is. Your leaders have to be your best people, I believe strongly, because if you don't, if you're fighting that within your culture, then you're doomed to failure. You never hear anybody say that, boy, we were sure lucky to have a good culture. You know, that just kind of fell into place for us and led us to winning. That doesn't happen. Culture is the first thing that has to be in place, and you have to have the people, emulating that culture and sending that message and willing to hold others accountable in a positive way. And they have to challenge the staff, and the staff has to challenge them, and the message then has to come out of that to be a trusted message that's going to be delivered through the ranks. And we certainly have the individuals in place right now led by Ray that send that message. So as far as your culture, talent, you know, talent's important. You certainly want Steve Yzerman, your best player, to be driving, you know, driving the bus. But I think there's a value in you know, your top point guy. You know, what is the value? You know what I mean? Is, you know, a lot of points, but you're not the right way. You know, you're doomed to failure if you're working against the system regardless of how good you are. So it's most to have message being consistent and the right leadership. How many goals is that worth? You know what I mean? Like, there's no value on that. That you have to have that to start with, so you have to start there.
How about our defensive core? These kids have had to been thrown into the fire in many ways. Some of these kids maybe wouldn't have gotten as much ice time as they did without the situation that we were in the last couple of years. Now they've got a year and a half, 2 years of quality ice time, and I think judging from what you said through most of last year, these guys have really elevated their game, maybe even past expectations of what the coaching staff had.
Well, what we didn't get a year ago, we made up on the other end to some degree. So whatever woes we had last year wasn't on our defensive core. We lowered our goals against average a half a goal last year. That's a big deal with a freshman and sophomore defensive crew playing the predominant minutes. On the offensive side, these guys, I think, is where we'll see the most growth. We had 8 goals total out of our defense last year. We want to double that at least this year. So we've had to try, you know, we're putting things in place that give them confidence and allow them to play to their strengths and things like that. I do think we have a skill base back there. I do also think that we need to make sure we're getting the puck. If you're going to score goals, you have to have possession. So you need guys that drive possession. So we've gone out and brought in a couple of good-sized defensemen that can make a good first pass. They still have to acclimate to our game, which they're going to do well, but we have to have the puck. So that defensive crew, I think, is going to be absolutely fine for us. They're working really hard. They worked hard in the offseason. They improved their strength. Their skating looks good. Our gaps are much better than they were, certainly, I mean, not even close to what they were a year ago, in how they're getting up into their coverages and reading things. So, they'll get us the puck, and what they have to continue to do is work on and is transitioning that puck and creating offense out of us, because that's the ultimate goal. Is these guys want to play offense. They don't, you know, defense is work. You know, offense is fun, and they want to have fun, and the more you have the puck, the more fun you have. Right, Mick?
That's right. Play with the puck.
Jeff Mick is just with us, of course, agent here at Turbo Agency. We are broadcasting live from the Turbo Agency. It's our puck drop show, getting the season kicked off on Saturday and Sunday. The Huskies taking on Robert Morris, the Colonials, Saturday evening at 7:05, 6:30 pregame on Mix 93, and then 3:05 on Sunday afternoon, and that will be a 2:30 pregame. Both games can be heard on Mix 93 WKMJ. Looking forward to that, and we're going to take a quick time out here from the Turbo Agency. When we come back, Al Wakeham, the president of Copper Country Junior Hockey, and Mike Jukri, the president of Calumet Hockey Association, are here. We'll be chatting with them in just a moment. It is the Joe Schott Hour from the Turbo Agency, the Puck Drop Show here on Mix 93 WKMJ.
It's iPhone season at Sprint, Polly.
Wow, that's exciting. Switch to Sprint and get
the new iPhone 11 or iPhone 11 Pro with amazing all-new camera systems. And now you can get iPhone 11
for $0 per month when you trade in your iPhone 7 or newer in any condition.
Seriously, any condition.
And with Sprint's 100% total satisfaction guarantee, you can try out the network and see the savings for yourself.
Happy iPhone season! Don't you just love that?
What's not to love?
I just love it!
Celebrate iPhone season at Sprint. Switch to Sprint and get the new iPhone 11 for $0 per month when you trade in your iPhone 7 or newer in any condition. Get yours right now at your local Sprint store, Sprint.com, or call 800-SPRINT-1.
iPhone 11 64GB, $0 a month, and iPhone 11 Pro 64GB, $12.50 a month, both after $29.17 a month credit for 18 months with Sprint Flex lease applied within 2 bills. Requires new line of service. Cancel early. Remaining balance due. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. 30-day guarantee. Select exclusions apply. 30-day activation. Fee, taxes, and restrictions apply.
Save your bucks at Bucko's with store-wide savings all month long. All 15 and 18 packs of beer are on sale. All Coke and 7-Up 2-liter products are 2 for $3. Canada Dry flavored seltzer 8 packs only 2 for $5. All Pepsi 12-pack cans are 2 for $10. Don't forget to get your hunting, fishing, or RV licenses and all alpaca gear at Bucko's Party Store. All sales do not include taxes and deposits at Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, where the party starts.
Honest conversations mean sharing what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. At times, investing can seem difficult and emotional. Throughout it all, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor is your advocate for the long term with your best interests in mind. That's why we take the time to listen and understand what's important to you. Honest Conversations. It's another way Edward Jones makes sense of investing. Contact me, John Nelson, your local financial advisor at 482-8680. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Welcome back here on Mix 93 WKMJ, live from the Turbo Agency in downtown Hancock, where we are getting ready to send off this Michigan Tech hockey season with the Puck Drop Show. And we are joined, of course, by head coach Joe Schott, but also a couple of other special guests in our studio, and Al Wakeham, the president of the Copper Country Junior Hockey Association, and Mike Jukri, the president of the Calumet Hockey Association. Before we get to Mike, Al, nice to have you on the show here today, and this, it seems like, junior hockey these days starts so much earlier than back when you and I were playing hockey, and I think that's a good thing because it's almost a 12-month year-round sport these days, and Copper Country Junior Hockey is rocking and rolling, aren't they?
Yeah, we've been on the ice for about 3 weeks now. Our travel teams are up and running. Tonight we're going to draft all our house league teams, so about 15 house league teams, so the players will find out who their coaches are, who's going to be on their teams. And that's going to be a lot of fun.
So a lot of these younger kids, then you have these practices where all of the players from that level, that division, are out there, and then the coaches are kind of eyeing things up, and then you guys go and have a draft on it, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So and the travel teams got going quite a few weeks ago, right?
Yes, they're already doing games and traveling a lot. I don't think they've had any home games. Well, maybe a few home games, but things are going well with them.
And the Houghton County Arena, for those who have not been to the Houghton County Arena for a couple of years, the renovations there, we talk about the great renovations up at Calumet and, of course, the D Stadium, but the Houghton County Arena has had some major improvements over the last couple of years.
Yes, definitely. We've got a new ice plant in there that we put in a couple of years ago. That enables us to get on the ice a little bit earlier, maybe run the ice a little bit longer in the season, a lot more efficient.
And the dehumidifier is a big addition, right?
Yes, definitely.
Al Wakeham with us from Copper Country Junior Hockey Association. Am I right now that the registration has closed down for Copper Country Junior Hockey as of like the 27th?
That's correct. We still have registration open for girls. We have one girls team here, and there's another additional girls team in Marquette. Those are the only two girls teams in the Upper Peninsula. And we also have for the 16U midget registration is still open.
Is there a way that people can donate to the Copper Country Junior Hockey Association? Do you get donations just from people?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. We are actually working on a webpage where people can donate in memory of Thatcher Markham as well as Jim and Margaret Markham. we're getting that page set up so people can donate, and those funds will go to kids that normally couldn't afford to play hockey.
Gotcha. And that's a good thing, too, because there's been things in the past, too, where equipment has been donated to certain kids. So there's always something working in and trying to get kids that are come from families that don't have a whole lot of extra income to get them on the ice.
Yeah, if there's somebody out there that wants to play hockey, we'll work with them and figure out a way to get them to play.
Joe, you've been around this area a lot now, and you've been able to see a lot of junior hockey, and obviously it's a big thing the way Calumet and the Copper Country Junior Hockey run their leagues, run their organizations, and use up these great rinks that we have around here.
It's tremendous. It works well for us. We've had, I mean, look at the players we've had on our team from the area. That speaks volumes. When we're working hard to keep those kids, we don't want to lose a local player anywhere, you know, to go in. And it's interesting how many get calls by other teams. I think some of them are trying to get us to spend our money a little bit early, you know, to try to say, okay, let's make a phone call there and get them to commit to the, and spend our money. But they're also very, very good players. And, you know, you go down to the festivals, Michigan festivals and things, and it used to be where the UP teams would be behind a little bit. You can, you know, Mick will probably remember that, where they used to just keep them on a set team, and they'd go down there and get beat up pretty good by the AAA, you know, the Caesars kids. Now those kids are stepping up, and they're as good as any in the state. And so, yeah, it's fun here. And the hearing how many teams there are is great, because we're so many places the host league teams are dwindling. They're still strong here.
Mike Jukery, the president of the Calumet Hockey Association, is with us, and Mike is still trying to wake up because he had one of the busiest weeks in the history of Calumet with Hockeyville. Just ended up. Mike, I had a chance to see you at the big game on a Thursday, and it's hard to put into a couple of words and just how great everything went up in Calumet for that Hockeyville.
You know, the event started on Monday, and you look at the weather, the whole week was just absolutely fabulous. The Monday night event went well. Probably 2,500 to 3,500 people were in the park, you know, along US 41. Tuesday, when we had Drew Miller and Mulpey showing up with our 6U and 8Us, was absolutely fabulous. And then you had the Pioneer game and the Wolves game. Well attended, almost 950 people paid attendance. Then Wednesday night, the gala event with the Jeremy Roenick, who was just absolutely fabulous in that event. I'm really interested to see what the totals got raised for that evening, because he really did a fabulous job. And what can you say about, you know, when you see those Red Wings and Blues showing up on the red carpet and having all those kids there? You know, when I was going, you know, I just had goosebumps. You know, you just, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And I think everybody in the area, regionally, just truly appreciated that whole event.
Coach, you saw it on, you were able to watch it on television. A lot of people wanted to see what it looked like on television. We were able to watch it a little bit on television from the ballroom there, because they had a couple of TVs set up, but it looked great on TV.
I chose to watch it on TV because I wanted to get the whole atmosphere of it, and it certainly wasn't disappointing. And it's great that you mentioned Roenick, because the excitement that these guys showed, you know, whether the NHL told them to or whatever, I mean, they certainly, I spent a little bit of time with, you know, some of the coaches from the Red Wings as well. They totally appreciated it from the time they got off of the plane and the greeting that they got all the way through. It resonated with them, and it, like, as was mentioned, everybody cooperated, the weather cooperated, everything did, but, you know, it was, the whole production was great. The announcers were fantastic. The lighting on television looked great. The noise was great. Everything about the whole thing that I saw was, I don't know if you could match it. And you could really see how the people appreciated it here. Where you I mean, there's areas you go to and it's just another day in the park. They're used to, you know, they get everything. Here, you could see the appreciation and the admiration. It was like when we were kids, they looked at these NHL guys like they were, you know, like they were legends, you know what I mean? And that's how it was when we were kids. That's missing a little bit, you know, nowadays. It, because everybody's exposed to so much, they get everything they want. Right. Our kids still appreciated every second of that, as did the adults.
Well, the Wings used to go to the Sioux
to
have some of their training
camp. Yeah, they did. I remember when I was young.
Yeah. Mike Dukery with us, the president of Calumet Hockey Association. Mike, a lot of the questions I'm getting about the Calumet Armory is, okay, first of all, are the boards going to stay up with all of the Kraft Hockeyville stuff on it? And I think I talked to you about that already. But the ice, a lot of people asking, is the Hockeyville decor on the ice going to stay through the year?
At this time, the hockey decor is going to stay. You know, they put so much work into that ice, and it looks fabulous. You know, we're going to keep that through this year.
But you have great advertisers that sponsor Calumet and the armory that would be on the boards, correct?
Exactly. You know, the boards, you know, are probably, because it's that material that's designed for the NHL rinks. You know, by Christmas time, you know, we tried that. When we actually put our boards in 3-4 years ago, and we tried that material
with the sticker stuff,
and by Christmas time it was peeling off. Yeah. So, you know, those are those things that are going to be coming off here probably in the next 2-3 weeks. Try to enjoy Hockeyville, you know, but then get our board advertisers up, because they are a great supporter of our association.
I know it's only Monday, and you know Thursday was the big game, but I would imagine more people that weren't allowed to go to the game or weren't able to get to the game are still just going to come into the armory and take pictures, you know, because they want to have something to remember the armory by.
Right. Our association started off hockey on Saturday, and there was people coming in that I didn't recognize from the area, and they were taking pictures, and multiple times people were coming out. We had to stop at the door because they were taking pictures of the front door with the Detroit Red Wing logo and the St. Louis Blues. So it's just, and that was like that all summer long. You know, people would be coming in just checking on the rink.
Coach, it was really cool because Northern had a couple of kids, of course, on the Detroit Red Wings, and Michigan Tech's Mitch Ranke was able to make the trip, and I thought he played a really good game in that exhibition game.
Yeah, I was involved in the recruiting and coaching of Dominic Schein during his career.
Right.
So great kid. It was fun. You know, another thing that can't be overlooked, those two teams went at it. Like, they didn't, like, it wasn't like a you know, just a skate in the park. They went at it. They competed hard, and it was a game where guys were still trying to make a hockey team, and it was a good game. It was a small rink where people were right on top of you. It was a lot of fun to watch.
The Huskies will open up their season on Saturday and Sunday at Robert Morris in Pittsburgh. We'll talk more about that when we come back here on the Joe Schaan Hour. It's the Puck Drop version. We are live from the Turbo Agency today on location here in downtown Hancock. And we'll be back with more right after these.
The smell of fresh-cut barley. The sound of boots in a barn. The sight of the sun rising over the fields. Budweiser farmers don't just grow barley. They live it. That's because there's nothing simple about growing barley. It's early mornings every morning. It's a steady hand guiding a combine through the field. It's a loyalty to the land, and it's a respect for those who did it before you did. Barley is the soul of our lager. That's why we've been working with the same family-owned American farms for more than 50 years to harvest it. The secrets to growing this grain perfectly have been passed down through 3 generations. For them, it's a legacy. It's something to be proud of. And it's why only the best barley and locally sourced ingredients are used to make Budweiser. Budweiser is proudly raised across America. This Bud's from our barley farmers. This Bud's for you. Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Ladies and gentlemen, stand back. Here comes
WKMJ, the Michigan Tech Huskies.
Basketball.
That's with the rebound. Scores. Here come the Huskies in the lane. Elliott shoots. Scores! He banks it in off the glass.
Volleyball.
Huskies lead. Set point. Match point. Back row. Jonina. It's not coming back. Huskies win it.
Football.
Pushes back. Across the 5. Spot into the end zone. Touchdown, Huskies.
All in your face. Hockey.
Check this out.
Scooped up now by the Huskies and brought back up the ice by Reitmeier. Reitmeier picked up by Parrotino and a shot. Score! What a shot by Parrotino!
With the area's best sports broadcasting team.
Mitch Lake coming to you live from the Michigan Tech SDC.
My name is Josh Yolotello, and I'm joined on the broadcast by Kirk McDonald.
Well, welcome everybody from the John McKinnis Twitter Night Suite. I'm Dirk Heffron, Brent Peterson,
along with Dave Ellis.
Your exclusive radio home of Michigan Tech Athletics.
This is Mix 93. WKNJ.
Go Huskies.
Welcome back. We're live here from the Turbo Agency. It's the Joe Schaan Hour Puck Drop Show, and we are happy to have special guests in our studio, including Mike Dukery, Al Wakeham, both presidents from the local hockey Orkish, and Mike Mikula, the agents here at the Turbo Wave for this big, for this 2019-20 season that will start in Pittsburgh coming up on Saturday and Sunday. And, Coach, at this point of the preseason, how much work have you been able to do and is necessary to already start scouting what Robert Morris and what kind of team they are?
Well, you can't really do a lot of that. You have to go primarily based on a year ago, right? And they had a late run there. They lost out to AIC in the in their championship there in overtime. And AIC went on, as most know, and defeated the number one ranked St. Cloud in the first game of the NCAA tournament. So they're a good team. I think this year, in early hockey, early season games at the collegiate level, the games kind of favor the teams that have the most veteran players returning, especially the most impact veteran players returning. I think Robert Morris has a lot of that. They return the majority of their team. They compete well. They're well coached. They're structured defensively, but creative offensively. They have a lot of accountability built into their defensive schemes and things. So they may be a great opponent. It's in their rank. It's a smaller environment. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a good challenge for our team, and it's a good starting point for us. It's always good to get to have early games on the road to build that chemistry and spend that a little bit more time with your group.
Can we talk a little bit about the freshmen we have already throughout the summer on our every once in a while, Joe Shot hours throughout the summer, but these guys have had a chance to watch some of them in practice, and they look really good. They seem like they're fitting good as a whole, Coach. As a whole, is this freshman class kind of working their way into the fiber of Michigan Tech hockey and buying into the systems already?
Yeah, they are, and the good thing about it is, for the most part, our freshmen look like freshmen. Last year, our freshmen came in and they impacted right from game one on the at Wisconsin. Bretzman and Bliss and those guys, they were some of our better players in those games. Those guys have made great strides. I think our upper class has made very good strides in the areas that they needed to. And the freshmen that we kind of thought would be able to step in right away and help us look like that they're going to be able to do that. And the ones that we thought were going to take a little time develop a little bit and get a feel for what's going on, they're kind of showing that. So again, I like the formula where we're at right now. I like where the group is at. I think Blake Pill has added a good consistency, good depth and goal, but our upperclassmen look great right now. I think a couple players, I think Suretsky looks like he's and Logan Piedla at forward, those two look like they're the most ready to step in and play big roles for us.
Another freshman, Jake Crespi, who, from remembering right, wasn't he Mr. Hockey mm-hmm. a couple of years ago? I know he has had the injury bug a little bit last year. How is he fitting in right now?
He's good. He skates well. He's trying to figure things out. He has a long way to go. What you find coming in is that they're usually good at what they're good at. But the transition part, sticking with assignments, not drifting, those things usually take a little bit of time to develop. That's why my feeling, when you watch a pro hockey game, if you sit by the glass, that game is really fast. You know, the NHL games are really fast. But if you watch it on TV, there's often say that it looks slower than watching a college game. And it's not. It's just that they stick to their structure and they work when they need to work. And other than that, they don't take themselves out of areas so that they have to work twice as hard to get back and recover for drifting and things. That's kind of what you see at our level right now. We're teaching, you teach the young guys, you try to get with them to think the complete game, be able to participate in the entire shift, to realize that where they're occupying is integral to transition. When we get the puck, we need to know that they're in certain areas and how much you can interchange those areas and get guys to understand multiple roles is the big part of it. You know, you have offensive play in each zone. You know, you have breakouts in the D zone. You have neutral zone counters in the neutral zone. You have obviously offensive zone play in the offensive zone. You have the same thing defensively. You have forecheck in the offensive zone. That's a defensive scheme. Neutral zone defense, you know, D zone cover. But the difference in the good teams is how they transition from one to another. Everybody practices and works very hard. on the basic concepts in each zone, but the big part of it is your transition from offense to defense, from defense to offense. And you want it to be seamless, and which is often integrates players' understanding a lot. You know, they have to understand everybody's roles, and in case they're caught in that role, that's when you really have it going, when you have chances to take it to another level, because you have guys that are really intelligent. And then then you're playing with the puck a lot more and having a lot more fun.
I just want to let everybody know that the Pietilas will be called Pietilas, even though the downstate Petilla is in their blood a little bit.
Must have been a fight along the way.
Well,
somehow.
There was. I mean, I can go through this story about this is like our sixth Pietila on the team in the last 10 years.
I'll tell you, in the Sioux, it's Canisto, and you got first cousins. Dads were brothers, and you got Canisto, and then you got another branch that calls himself Caunisto. And you know, you're at hunting camp together with them, and it's Canisto and Caunisto, and it's like, hey, come on, guys, can you get it together? Your dads were brothers, for crying out loud. How can it be different?
Well, I had Logan and Blake together on media day, and we do that intro that we do with all the players, and Logan said, Logan Petilla, I said, hold on, let's get this straight right now. Yeah. What are we going to do? Oh, I'm sorry. We're up here in the conference. You can go with Pietilla, he says.
Yeah.
And when we had three on the team at one, they're all. It was just a.
How about that comment? We're in the Copper Country. You can go with.
That's right.
Like, do we have accents or something?
But the Pietilas will be Pietilla on the broadcast, and so we're looking forward to that. One guy, before we move on to a couple questions, Coach. One guy I wanted to ask you about, Zach Noble, big, strong forward. Where is he fitting into the pie of Michigan Tech hockey right now?
He's doing well. His biggest deal is exactly what we just said, is he's got the skills around the net. He can make plays when he has the puck in that area. He needs to help us drive possession and so that he can utilize his reach and his strength and some natural instincts he has in those areas. And when you count how much time a guy actually has the puck on his stick in a hockey game, it's very little. Seconds that a guy has on his stick. So it's the other work that gives you the opportunity to get that, to add seconds, and especially if they're in the right place. So he's figuring out. I'll tell you a guy who I'm looking forward to seeing continue to develop is the kid we added late, Big David Reisner.
Right.
I mean, this guy's a unit. He's 6'6", intelligent. He's got a passion for the game. He started college right out of high school. He's one of those guys that said, I'm never going to go anywhere in hockey. I'm going to go to college, started mechanical engineering at University of Minnesota. And then after 1 year of college, thought, I miss hockey, and went back and played a couple years. And he's only got a few years of eligibility, but this kid can play hockey. He's good around the net. He's smart. He takes care of the puck. He does a lot of good things. So we might have found something there. I like this kid.
Coach, a couple questions for you. Let's kick those off. By the way, you can get your questions in with the same email address, dj@themix93.com. We're broadcasting the Joe Schott Hour, the Puck Drop Show from the Turvo Agency today. And, Coach, here's the question. Coach, have you ever tried to schedule non-conference games with one of the service academies, like Air Force or Army, West Point?
I haven't. No, and that's actually a neat thing. But we haven't explored that.
You already talked about freshman Reisinen. This is another question: how this all happened. But was somebody like? Did you mention how many years you think he has eligible? We know two for sure, right?
I believe two, and then we'll have the option possibly to appeal for a third based on everything. Well, the ruling is that your clock, your eligibility clock starts when you enroll and attend classes. You're on campus for classes full time at any point. That's when your clock starts. So from that point on, you have 5 years to play four. They allow you a red shirt year in there. And there's some things that take away a year, within that, in the rules. So he started his clock. He played 2 years of juniors. He started his clock the year before that. So 3 years ago, when he entered Minnesota, his clock started. So he has five to play four on that. So that leaves him 2 years left. And potentially, if he needs it to fill his degree or things out, potentially there's a chance to file for a hardship waiver and possibly get another year.
Okay. All right, well, more questions coming in. We'll wait for those as you can send it to dj@themix93.com. We're live from the Turbo Agency, the Puck Drop Show here on Mix 93, back with more of the Joe Schott Hour.
This week, find great deals at Walgreens. Right now, select varieties of Tide laundry detergent are $2.99 with coupon and card. Plus, buy two and get the third free on mix and match oral care products, in-store and online, now through November 2nd with card. Get great deals on the everyday essentials you need right here at your neighborhood Walgreens. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. While supplies last, restrictions and exclusions apply. See store for details.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Adios, old friend. Yeah, I've got no secrets and no regrets. Well, a lot of regrets, but the point is I've got nothing to hide. Kind of like the way Progressive shows you their competitors' rates. You got to put it all out there, baby. Excuse me, miss. Does this heart belong to you? Would you like it anyway?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparisons not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Bob Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. If something were to happen to you today, would your family be left with a financial burden to cover your debts and final expenses? Would they be able to maintain their same lifestyle without you? No matter your age and situation, there is an auto owner's life insurance policy to meet your unique needs, and an auto owner's life policy is likely more affordable than you think. Stop in at the Turvo Agency in Hancock and see how a life insurance policy from auto owners can provide the protection your family needs and deserves. Think life.
Hey there, Husky fans. This is Sully from the Campus Store. The Michigan Tech Campus Store is located in the Memorial Union Building on the Michigan Tech Campus. And University Images is located in the Student Development Complex at the top of McGinnis Drive. They are your official headquarters for all your favorite Michigan Tech apparel and souvenirs. Plus, you can ship your packages directly from either store for out-of-town friends and family. Stop by the Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, where the public is always welcome. Or shop online at bookstore.mtu.edu. for all your Michigan Tech Huskies apparel and souvenirs.
Welcome back to the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Dirk Hemroff along with head coach Joe Schaan, also former player and Turvo Agency agent Jeff Mickish in the conference room here, and Bob Franti as well. And Bob, you had a question for Coach?
Yes, Coach. People talk about the transition from junior hockey or high school hockey to college hockey, and the big leap that is, but you have the same situation with academics, and I'd like to know what you do to help the kids address that situation with the academic challenges that they face.
Yeah, well, it even gets to be a little bit more than that. It's a great question, because hockey's a kind of a unique beast in itself, that so many individuals don't go to college right away. I mean, that's why we're always fighting legislation within the NCAA, because the NCAA is used to having situations in other sports where athletes go right, they have no option to play like junior hockey, where here they do. So they're out of hockey sometimes till they're 21, before they are out of school before they start. So they have to get back into school, you know, into the groove and get their minds working again. So there's tutoring available, as there is for all students, but we have tutoring available for our athletes. They do a great job with that within the program. There's classes that are actually offered to orient, you know, teaching study habits and doing those types of things with the students. And then we have study hall, especially for all freshmen, and then any students outside of that on the teams, on the athletic teams, that are struggling through a progress report structure and things like that, where input is being fed not to the coaches but to our academic offices, so that we're basically informed after, and that's how it should be. We're informed, hey, we have a student, there's a student there that's fallen behind a little bit, so the coach can't cover it and say, well, we need him at practice or something. The priority goes to school. So they'll say, okay, this kid is falling behind, he needs a little bit of help, and then you work in that structure. So there's study halls, there's tutoring, and then there's structures within the academic portion of it that get them, keep them on course to where can you go for help when you need to write papers, you know, things change on how profs want it and stuff like that. So did that answer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, very good. Thank you.
Coach, another question coming in. Can you talk more about the freshman defensemen and how they're looking so far?
They're good. They're good. They're both two big right-handers, Leip and Datema. Datema's got a tremendous shot, good reach. He's more of an offensive type of a guy, as he, you know, he's a 50-something point guy last year, 21 goals, I believe, in the North American League. And Leip is more of a defensive type defenseman. He actually was out there. I was watching him last year. Greenway, I believe, was his partner. And I felt so bad for Leip when I went and watched him, because Greenway came. I think he transferred, left Wisconsin or left one of those schools and went back to juniors. And Leip had to cover for him all the time. The poor guy had to, because Greenway was just going to go and he was just playing offensive with very little structure. So, they're both doing a great job. They're doing exactly what we brought him in for. They're learning, from our, you know, smaller guys that have good feet on what we expect in that regards. And once they can get within a stick length of them, they can, you know, they can do their job, and end a play. So they're doing a great job. I don't know the impact they're going to have early for us. But I think as time goes on, they're going to have a major impact, which is the way it should be. We have a good veteran core of defensemen returning, and we do. It gives us a luxury of changing the look as these guys keep developing.
Coach, another question coming in. It looks like there are 10 Michigan natives on the roster right now, which this person believes is the most that they've had on Michigan Tech's roster in a very long time. Can you talk a little bit about that? Obviously getting some good Michigan kids.
Not by design. We're not focusing on anything. We're focusing more on their impact and the leagues that they're playing in. And I mean, I'd have to look at where everybody's from to find out. I know Leip's a Michigan kid, and he played in Chicago, and there's two Puyallup Michigan kids. One played in Cedar Rapids, and one played in Dubuque. And you know, so I don't.
Yeah, and Leip played with played with Logan and Brian Hallinan, right? Would that be right?
I don't know. I'm not. It'd take me too much time to sit back and analyze where they all, because they
bounce
around
so
much. But they're. I mean, we're just looking at the impact they have as to where they're at. We're not recruiting any place. We're just trying to recruit the best players we can.
Blake Pietola, Robbie Badun, and Mr. Jerusik are three goaltenders on the roster right now. Coach, you touched a little bit on the freshman, Pietola. Obviously, goaltending, everybody's always talking about goaltending for Michigan Tech. From what I've seen in the little handful of practices that I've watched, they've all looked really good. Yep. What are your thoughts so far on the goaltending?
I agree with you. I think they all look really good. Blake, to some degree, is still adjusting in. You know, I talk all the time about percentages and things like that. That's probably the spot where I kind of hold that, you know, that statistical, you know, I rely on the statistics, because I think there is, having played goal, you're looking for a certain number regardless of where the shots come from, because that's what goaltending is. I think that Blake right now is probably getting beat a little bit more on direct shots, where I want to see him get that percentage up higher, so that he's at, you know, that he's not getting beat by direct shots. I mean, I'll give you an example. In this summer, I was talking with a guy who's a goalie coach in the NHL. They feel that any direct shot, no matter where it's from, breakaway, in the slot, when a guy walks down, wherever it is, NHL goaltenders are 92% to 95% stopping it. So 92% on the lower end for goaltenders, 95% on the better goaltenders on that particular year. That's what they are in direct shots. On any type of crossing, if you're on passes, one-timer opportunities, plays from behind the net, deflection plays, things like that, it's a pretty straight number across the board that NHL goaltenders are 75%. They're 75%. So within that structure there, it comes into getting that number of 91%, 90 point whatever goaltending, but you still have to be 92 to 95 on the direct shots.
Right.
That's what we look for in our goaltenders, to be that, and when they show that in practice, because our job defensively within our structure is to give them shots that they can see and handle, you know what I mean, and take away those 75% opportunities. So that kind of, I guess, sums that up.
So you have three goaltenders, and I'm always interested in the relationship between the three goaltenders. I don't know much if you care too much about that, but is there a good, I guess, friendly rivalry between these three guys that you're able to notice right now?
I haven't been around them enough. I think that Robbie and Maddie certainly have a good, respected relationship. Blake Pietola is a wonderful young man. He's not going to, he's not going to work against that. He certainly wants to play. He's highly competitive. He's used to, you know, winning championships. They know what their job is. Their job isn't the other guy. Their job is the puck and doing their job. And, you know, goaltending is the one situation where it's not, you're less reliant on fitting within a structure and more reliant on just playing the game against the puck.
Right.
That's probably why I played goalie, because it's a lot simpler just to focus on that puck than it is to know where I have to be all the time.
Mike Jukery is here along with Al Wakeham, both presidents of the respective local hockey organizations. And, Mike, I know there's been a concerted effort in the Calumet Hockey Association to get more kids to play goaltender. Is that still the case these days?
We're always trying to do that. You know, we never really shy away from that. You know, the biggest part that, you know, I've been in the association now probably 10, 12 years now, and it's not necessarily convincing the parent or the child. It's convincing the parent to let your kid play.
Well, it's not easy to be a parent of a player in general and then of a goaltender.
It's harder. Not. Yeah. It's not very easy, but I'm getting used to it. I do have one that's a goalie.
Do you?
And I'm good with it now. But it took me a while.
Yeah, though. I think parents got to realize the kid's the one. I mean, the kid's the one playing. My mom used to be up there pumping the rosary beads. I mean, like, Ma, you're not in here stopping the pucks. Don't worry about it. Like, just enjoy the game. Buy your ticket. Watch it like anybody else.
Well, I had a brother that played goaltender. Did you play goaltender, Al?
No,
okay, yeah. And, of course, Randy was a goaltender and played some for Michigan Tech, and it's not easy to be a parent.
I'll tell you how I handle my kid. First of all, you can't make a kid be a goalie. Every time a kid goes in a sporting goods store, the first thing they're doing is going over and putting on the goalie gloves and throwing the pads up and throwing the mask on. And I mean, it's a look. But I'll tell you what I did with my kid when he started playing that game is we threw equipment on him and told him to get in there, and I made sure the equipment was as bulky and as awful fitting as he could, and told his older cousin stuff, go at him, boys. Fire him. Hit every part of his body. Do whatever you want. And if he likes that, he deserves to be in the net. And if he doesn't, I mean, I was a catcher in baseball and goalie in hockey. There's something not right about that. You got to think about it. To move in front of something moving that fast, there's got to be something a little bit off kilter in the way you're going at it. So the kid will figure out whether he's attracted to that or whether he's not. And what he really is, a kid in there really is looking for those kids usually kind of want to be difference makers. You know, if he's in there because he can't skate very well and things like that, you're in there for the wrong reason. You're in there. You want to be a difference maker because you're the goat or you're the, you know, very seldom a hero. You're either okay or you're the goat, you know. So the kid will figure it out, and parents just got to stay away from the rink if your kid wants to go in goal and just let him figure out whether he's going to progress at it or not.
What about somebody like Ryan Miller, who you know obviously very well and now a backup role with all the accolades that he's had throughout his career? Do you find that a little bit surprising that he's taking that role? Or do you look at it as he still believes that he can work his way back up to the number one spot?
Your question is, why is he still playing?
Well, yeah, you would think that somebody that has been the guy for so long, moving, you know, almost like a quarterback, you know, Brett Favre not wanting to be a backup quarterback,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? The thing is, athletes are a little different. People want to force athletes out based on how they play and things. But you have to realize, to be a high-level, elite-level athlete, when you make pro sports, man, it's everything you are. It's everything you've done. It's even more than just your identity. It's your way of life. It's how you've trained. It's how you've eaten. It's how you've rested. It's how you've adjusted your life. And you learn to love that. You love every single thing about it. So to take away the thing you love, like I'm getting to the age now where I think about it, and if I were to have great success as far as wins and losses and still have a job, man, how can you say that it's time for Red Berenson to leave? Like, he loves it. He loves the bus. He loves being around the guys. If you went to Yost Arena and watched in the summer at 7 o'clock at night, I did that one time, hopped in, went in there to see their hockey school, and he was on the bench. I mean, at the hockey school. He didn't have to do that at 70-whatever years he was. He loved the game. And as long as he's still productive, I watched one of the McCourty's, the defensive back, the twins for the Patriots, Devin McCourty, I think.
Yes.
And they said, they were asking him about Brady, and he says, I'm tired of hearing people talk about him getting older. We're all getting older. You guys that are asking these questions are getting older every day. The question you should ask is, does he suck yet? Like, does he? Because if he can still play, it doesn't matter how old he is. Now, the thing with Ryan, is he still better? Is he willing to take the money? And is he still an adequate backup? If that's the case, I mean, he's still going to compete for the number one spot. Right. I know Ryan Miller. I spent countless hours with him. He's not going in there with the thought of, I'm going to ride this into the sunset. He's going in there with the thought of, I still want to be the guy. He's a great teammate. He fits every model that you need to have somebody. You'd want him on your team. You'd want him in your locker room. So you can't take it out of him. I mean, it's hard. They sit up there and cry tears when they retire. It's walking away from everything you've been, you know, because you can't perform anymore. It's a hard thing to do, and the hardest thing is to say, can I perform? You know, can I, and be realistic with that, and, you know, damn, if you can still fill a role and do it till the very end.
Now the question just came in, Coach, talking about your goalies, is there a chance you would redshirt Pietila if Jarusik and Badun step up and play consistently?
I'm not. It's a day-to-day thing, you know. He's evolved into being the number one goaltender every place he's been, so... That's not even on my mind right now. What's on my mind is who gives us the best chance of winning hockey games, and if he's the guy, he'll play.
We are broadcasting live from the Turbo Agency today, the Joe Schaan Hour. It's our puck drop show, kicking things off for the 2019-20 season as the Huskies open up their season on the road in Pittsburgh against the Colonials from Robert Morris. Game time's on Saturday at 7 and on Sunday at 3, and we'll be on the air 1/2 hour prior to that here on the Voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Our final segment coming up in just a moment. We'll take a short timeout. Be back with the more of the Joe Schaan Hour after these.
Using an overpriced trash bag?
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks?
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag?
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong Trash Bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad Force Flex, where sold head to head, so you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Also available in heavy-duty black bags.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Right now at visionworks.com. When you buy one complete pair of glasses, you get a second free. That means you could get a pair of glasses and a free pair of prescription sunglasses. So you don't have to do the thing where you wear your glasses under your sunglasses when you drive. Or you can get a pair of glasses and a free second pair with different frames. Or a free backup pair. Or maybe another scenario we didn't think of. No matter what, when you buy one pair of glasses, you get one free at visionworks.com. VisionWorks. See the difference. Restrictions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, stand back. Here comes
WKMJ, the Michigan Tech Huskies.
Basketball.
Bats with the rebound. Scores. Here come the Huskies in the lane. Elliott shoots. Scores! He banks it in off the glass.
Volleyball.
Huskies lead. Set point. Match point. Back row. Jonina. It's not back. Huskies win it.
Football.
Pushes back. Across the five. Spun into the end zone. Touchdown, Huskies.
All in your face. Hockey.
Check this out.
Scooped up down by the Huskies and brought back up the ice by Reitmeier. Reitmeier picked up by Paratino and a shot. Score! What a shot by Paratino!
With the area's best sports broadcasting team.
Mitch Lake coming to you live from the Michigan Tech SDC.
My name is Josh Yolotello, and I'm joined on the broadcast by Kirk McDonald.
Well, welcome everybody from the John McKinnis Center Night Suite. I'm Dirk Hemperoff, Brent Peterson, along with Dave Ellis.
Your exclusive radio home of Michigan Tech Athletics.
This is Mix 93. WKMJ.
Go Huskies.
Welcome back here on the Joe Schaan Hour. Dirk Hemperoff and Coach Schaan, Jeff Mickish, Bob Franti, Mike Jukery, and Al Wakeham all in the conference room here at the Turbo Agency. Stop at the Turbo Agency for all your insurance needs. And they are, of course, big sponsors of Michigan Tech Athletics on Mix 93 WKMJ, and we really appreciate them having us here today. We've been talking a lot about goalies today, but we want to remind people that there is a Blue Line Luncheon coming up next week for the home opener for Michigan Tech. Coach Schaan and Largan will be speaking as Alaska comes to town for a two-game set, and those games will be Friday night and Saturday night. I'm sure you know, Coach, I don't want to put you on the spot, but Saturday night home games for Michigan Tech are an hour earlier this year. Normally 7:07 starts, now 6:07 starts. I'm jumping up and down because it's one less hour I have to wait for the Tech hockey game on Saturday, but I think it's a great thing, and everybody that I've talked to that knows about it is pretty excited about that.
Yeah, if the crowd stay the same or grow, I think it's absolutely fantastic. I think it's going to be fun. Can you think of the possibilities there for, you know, if there's a volleyball game or basketball game or some sort of event where you could keep people there, tailgate, have, mm-hmm. you know, serve food, do some things, and get people to stay right there, and they're still getting home a little bit early. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
And from an economic standpoint for the rest of the community, it can go either way. I look at it as people now will be done by 8:30, and can still go out and have a dinner and, you know, get the kids to bed at a reasonable time if that's what it works for. And when the game... What?
Well, I'm thinking, and then the people who go down to the establishments can be done by...
Well, yeah. Okay. Whatever.
Or they have one more hour for those that
extra
have...
Extra hour, that's
good
right.
Good stand power.
Well, you know what I mean. I think it's a good thing. I'm glad they're trying it out. I know it's a WCHA...
My wife will like it, I know that.
It's a WCHA-wide thing. Suggestion, not all the WCHA schools are doing it, but it was suggested that they would try it throughout. I just think it's a good thing, and I just wanted to bring it up. And you can make all fun of me you want, Coach.
No, I like it too, and I think the businesses are going to like it because they're getting the people in there that much more. And I think it's got a lot of possibilities. I don't know any drawbacks if you get the crowd.
Right.
It's kids are getting home earlier and everything. I think it's great.
And for me,
I would have done it.
The worst thing about hockey on Saturday is literally the sitting around, or not sitting around, but waiting for those games to start. You just want to get them, especially when you're on the road. I mean, when you're on the road in that hotel room, you'd rather have that game at noon if you could. But I think it's a great thing that the university is trying out and just getting the word out there, because there's a lot of people that still haven't looked at the schedule and realized that those home games are at 6:00 and not at 7:00. So, again, Robert Moore's coming up this weekend, Coach. We don't know a lot about them going in with Coach Schooley's team. He's been there a long, long time. These are obviously huge games early in the season where we don't know a whole lot about our team as far as playing games, of course, but they all count the same when it comes down to the NCAA, and we need to get a couple of wins.
Yeah, we need to play well. We need to play well. No one's going to make the national championship. No one's going to get eliminated in that first weekend. We're looking for growth. We're looking for growth and consistency. And, you know, we have a couple of things that we have to establish this year. We have to be better in one-goal games if we're going to have any success as a team. We had a lot of one-goal games last year that we found ways to come out on the wrong side of. Experience needs to evolve. And, we have to coach better. We have to do a lot of things better give ourselves a chance to come out on top in those games. We absolutely have to play better against the top teams in our league, whether it be four teams ahead of us or three teams. We had a very poor record last year against the top teams in the league, and that was the difference, because our record against teams other than the top half was the best in the league. But our record against the top teams, and again, that's finding a way, that's playing your best at the right time when you need it with the game on the line, pulling together and not going apart. And again, we have to do our job as coaches. You know, great talent doesn't make up for bad coaching. And so we think we have the talent. We need to do a good job as coaching, get these guys ready, and then we have to grow and meld as a group.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We can't wait. We can't thank the Turbo Agency enough for having us. Did you have fun here, Coach, being on the road?
I enjoyed the heck out of it. I'll even come a little bit early. Normally I walk in and you're worried about me getting in there on time and come in here and banter with these guys. I do this every week.
Yeah, it was a great time. Thanks to Bob, Mike, and Jeff for having us here, and thanks to the presidents. We really appreciate Mike Jukery being here from the Calumet Hockey Association. And Al Wakeham, and from the Copper Country Junior Hockey Association, they do an unbelievable amount of work that really doesn't get a lot of credit and a lot of praise.
I'll tell you, what I like about this is these are hockey guys sitting here. You know, I remember Mike Babcock saying one time when he got the job after Scott, well, it was Dave Lewis, but then Babcock. And he said, they said, what's the toughest thing about being the coach of the Red Wings? And he said, the toughest thing is you better know what you're talking about. Cause when you call a timeout and you're looking at Nick Lidstrom and Steve Yzerman and Brendan Shanahan and Brett Hall, you know, they know what they're talking about. So you're not going to bluff them. You better know. These guys right here, this is it, like we're in an inquisition here. We're on one side of the table and these guys are staring us down, ready to drill us. And I like that. This is a great hockey community with great hockey people.
All right, that's going to do it from the Turbo Agency. Thanks again, guys. We really had a good time. It was our Puck Drop Show. Huskies open up their season on Saturday. We'll be on the air at 6:30 with a 7:05 puck drop from Pittsburgh, PA, as the Huskies take on Robert Morris University for the first time in program history. And then they'll play on Sunday afternoon at 3, 2:30 pregame. Can be heard on Mix 93 WKMJ. We appreciate the Turbo Agency sponsoring us. And if you're a business out there that would like to host the Joe Schaan Hour, just get a hold of us at the Mix 93 Studios, 482-3700. The Joe Schaan Hour, the first one in the books, thanks to the Turbo Agency, right here on Mix 93 WKMJ.